Apple becomes the top-selling smartphone vendor in China again. The previous leader, Huawei, is suffering major losses thanks to U.S. sanctions. Supply chain problems are expected to get worse and soon. That's because of two upcoming events in China, the Lunar New Year holiday and the Winter Olympics. The Chinese regime is making some edits to a Hollywood blockbuster so that authorities, instead of anarchists, win the game. It's one of the many examples of censorship foreign films face in China. And just a few days remain before the Winter Olympics opening ceremony. Locals say the atmosphere in Beijing is growing tense amid rising virus cases. And outside Beijing, workers in full protection gear are seen testing tables, chairs, and more. Welcome to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Before we start, China news may seem chaotic. With so much information swirling in the news, we want to offer you a look at the bigger picture to help you make sense of the details. If you haven't already, use the link in the description box and subscribe to our China in Focus newsletter. On top of offering the highlights of what's going on, it also gives the much-needed context behind those stories. And once in a while, you'll also get a peek into some behind-the-scenes content to see what we're up to. Every Friday morning, the latest will land in your inbox. Apple achieved its highest-ever market share in China in the fourth quarter last year. That made it the country's top-selling smartphone brand, a first for Apple in 6 years. That's according to an industry research.
Apple has become the top-selling smartphone vendor in China for the first time in 6 years. That's according to a report by industry experts on Wednesday. Counterpoint Research said two key factors helped Apple in the fourth quarter: the impact of US sanctions on major competitor Huawei and a lower starting price in China. Year on year, Huawei saw a drop of 68% in its unit sales, while Apple's jumped by nearly a half. The US giant's success coincided with the release of the iPhone 13. The new model helped Apple reach a record smartphone market share of 23%. Its unit sales volume grew almost a third, even as total smartphone sales fell in China. The last time Apple was China's top-selling smartphone brand was in late 2015, just after it launched its iPhone 6. Over last year as a whole, Apple's smartphone sales in China ranked behind only local brands Vivo and Oppo.
On the telecom front, a new report from a major service provider, this time from Europe. Data shows Swedish telecom giant Ericsson suffered a big market loss in China, but it still beat forecasts in the fourth quarter. That helped along by booming demand for 5G network gear. The adjusted profit reached almost $1.3 billion. The company is raking in the benefits as countries around the world roll out the next generation networks. It saw sales growth in Europe, North America, and Latin America, despite competition from Nokia, another Europe-based telecom giant. But China remains a sore spot for its success. Ericsson was once a big player there, but that started to change when Sweden banned Chinese company Huawei's telecom gear from its network in 2020, citing national security reasons. In what was widely seen as an act of retaliation, the Chinese Communist Party lashed out at the Swedish company, an effort that largely froze Ericsson out of China's market. The company estimates revenue in mainland China will drop for at least one more quarter. Ericsson's next set of earnings are also primed for another hit amid a court battle with Apple. It's wrangling with the U.S. giant over royalty payments for the use of 5G technology in iPhones. The tangle is likely to knock a big chunk off its revenue from patents. Despite that, possible acquisitions are still on the company's agenda. If you're ordering something online, you may have to wait even longer. The supply chain is expected to get worse in the following weeks because of two upcoming events in China: the Chinese New Year and the Winter Olympics. Nearly 100 million passengers traveled in China during the New Year holiday last year. And now with Omicron and the Olympics, Beijing is tightening its zero COVID policy with more lockdowns. And that's increasing supply chain challenges. Entity's Don Ma has the details.
The Chinese Lunar New Year is coming. Like Christmas in the US, it's one of the biggest Chinese celebrations. Although it's only a 7-day public holiday, the halt in production can last up to 4 weeks, and ports usually operate with a minimum staff.
So with the existing backup that we normally see, the port shut down for a couple of weeks, that's only going to stop things up even worse.
This year is especially unusual because the holiday overlaps with the Beijing Winter Olympics.
Figure out that China's trying to have a zero COVID rate as we go into the Olympics to put the best face on for the world as the Olympics go on there.
The managing director of Capture, Bob Bilbrook, says China's zero COVID strategy has stressed supply chains, resulting in lockdowns in the large port hubs and cities around the country, as well as a wide range of shipping delays. Ray Mahdi, CEO and founder of a global sourcing platform, says lead times coming out of China have doubled over the past year.
We're seeing average lead times right now of 60 days, you know, call it at least 70, 80 days. It's going to get very bad for anybody who's still primarily set up with their supply chains.
Josh Brazil, the vice president of marketing at Project 44, says shipping rates are still going up.
Freight capacity is still going to remain tight throughout 2022.
And air cargo rates are also spiking. The Freightos Air Index shows the rate from China to North Europe went up over 50% from the start of January to mid-January.
That's making air freight actually increase because a lot of people are now going, instead of bringing in supply via ship, which has been a somewhat of a challenge already anyways with ports like Long Beach and others.
So are businesses ready to embrace disruptions during the Chinese New Year?
People are always trying to preempt Chinese New Year. We're already in preempt mode because of the supply chain issues.
According to a survey by logistics technology company Container Exchange, over 60% of respondents said they prepared for Chinese New Year factory closures by ordering inventory earlier. Experts suggest businesses think ahead with reliable schedules and planning.
As soon as a vessel is delayed, then that truck is delayed, then the warehouse gets delayed, and so on and so forth. So as soon as those schedules get disrupted, it kind of sends everything into chaos.
They're going to have to plan, and they're going to have to be strategic, and they're going to have to hope their forecasts are right on the money, because if they underplan or overplan, they could have issues on both sides of that.
Mahdi advises companies to set up a backup supply chain somewhere else, like Mexico, which is the second largest supplier to the U.S.
These shipping times that are the big difference maker, instead of 7 weeks coming out of China, 8 weeks coming out of China, it might be 5 to 10 days coming out of Mexico.
He adds that since the United States has a free trade agreement with Mexico, businesses don't have to pay the 25% import tariffs. Don Ma, NTD News.
Now we look to another issue regarding the supply chain, semiconductors. Big parts of the Biden agenda are stalled in Congress, and Democrat leadership has turned its attention to a new goal that's likely to gain bipartisan support: enhancing competition in the global economy, especially competition with China. NTD's Melina Weisskopf has more.
The White House has seen one setback after another, and Biden is ready for a big win with the new American Competition Act. The House just this week just unveiled their version of a bill that was already passed in the Senate to invest in American innovation, technology, and manufacturing. It's also meant to reduce our dependence on China.
It's been on the launch pad for more than a year. We need to get moving if we're serious about competing with China.
The nearly 3,000-page bill invests in strengthening supply chain in American manufacturing, scientific research and technology, securing global competitiveness, and includes the CHIPS for America Act, a key piece to address the shortage of semiconductors used in everything from smartphones to cars.
We're going to stamp everything we can made in America, especially these computer chips.
The House's bill also includes $3 billion for solar manufacturing, a key investment to reduce dependence on China's green energy market, as the Biden administration plans to move toward renewable energy. The Senate passed their version of the bill over the summer with bipartisan support, but some Republicans were disappointed that the final version didn't include action to further prevent intellectual property theft by Chinese Communist Party spies.
What if a year from now we find out, and you're going to read an article 2 years from now, whatever, that says the Chinese have stolen a quarter, 25, 30% of the IP developed by the money that's been put forward in the bill that was passed? Then we're all going to feel pretty stupid around here.
Rubio this week sent a fiery statement that the DOJ has not done enough. Rubio pointed to a recent case with Professor Gong Chin at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Chin failed to disclose his ties to the Chinese Communist Party and was taken to court, but the DOJ dropped Chin's case last week.
And some, from what I've seen in this bill, it doesn't take action to stop those CCP officials from continuing to steal that intellectual property theft. Do you think that's a problem if it goes unaddressed?
Chinese espionage is a massive problem. I'm not sure this bill is the place to address it. There are efforts in the FBI and Department of Justice to go after the Chinese. Those probably need to be expanded. But Chinese espionage, IP theft, is different from supporting our own science and technology base.
It's expected that some version of this bill will be passed through Congress and signed into law by President Biden. But the question now is, will Senate Republicans put up a fight if they don't get to add some amendments, such as action to protect against intellectual property theft? Reporting in Washington, D.C., Melina Weisskopf, NTD News.
For two decades, David Fincher's classic film Fight Club has been known for its explosive climax. That's where the protagonist, played by Brad Pitt, watched a cluster of skyscrapers blowing up around him, representing his alter ego destroying consumerism. But the anarchist plot doesn't seem to sit well with the Chinese Communist Party. In the most recent mainland version of the film, the iconic ending was completely removed. Instead, a note appears on the screen, telling the audience that the police rapidly figured out the whole plan and arrested all criminals, successfully preventing the bomb from exploding. After the trial, Tyler was sent to a lunatic asylum, receiving psychological treatment. In the Chinese version, the government is portrayed as being on the side of justice, beating the villain and saving the day. A screenshot of the new ending went viral on Chinese social media. The edit has caused some backlash among film fans. One commented, "I am blown away by the fact that Fight Club's ending is changed. This is not just a small, insignificant film. Not to say that an insignificant film can be changed, but this is Fight Club, one of the most important and highly reviewed crime thrillers in film history." The comment continued that by the logic of this edit, can the protagonist from The Shawshank Redemption still break out of prison successfully? The entire Corleone family and The Godfather should have long been locked up by the police. Would Batman, who represents extra-legal justice, still be allowed to exist? This is not the first time Brad Pitt has met with Chinese censorship. He was reportedly banned in China for nearly 20 years until 2016. That's after he played in a 1997 film featuring an Austrian explorer's friendship with a young Dalai Lama, Tibet's spiritual leader, who now lives in exile. The film depicted the Chinese military's bloody invasion of Tibet and the persecution of Tibetan monks. The Winter Olympic Games are just over a week away. In preparation, Beijing has limited movement in more parts of the city. That's to lower infection risk for the Chinese Communist Party, or CCP virus, which causes COVID-19. But some of those limits are being enforced with seemingly extreme tools. In some cases, barbed wire has been laid out to block people from leaving their neighborhoods. On Wednesday, Beijing's Fengtai District urged its residents to stay inside, on top of requiring daily virus tests. The district has reported more local cases recently and had already isolated tens of thousands of people in quarantine compounds. According to the National Health Commission, Beijing reported 5 new local cases on Wednesday. Though due to China's lack of transparency and history of underreporting pandemic data, NTD cannot independently verify that information. Though that official figure remains small, pandemic containment is still being treated with added urgency. That's because on top of Olympic tourism, China's busiest travel season is approaching, the Lunar New Year holiday. Hundreds of millions of people are expected to travel starting early February. For many people throughout Asia, the Lunar New Year is similar to Christmas in the West, an occasion where families reunite to celebrate. One traveler named Wang says he is anxious ahead of the travel season when he plans to visit his hometown.
I have no choice but to go home. I've tested negative now, but what if it changes to positive?
In another Beijing community, the property management closed a number of entrances and installed barbed wire. They called the actions part of following orders from higher levels. Beyond lockdowns and limits on travel, a local notice on Sunday asked all residents who had purchased certain over-the-counter medicines to get virus tested within 72 hours. The drugs targeted are used to treat symptoms like fever, cough, and sore throat. The memo explained authorities would use digital records and data to track such purchases, and that those who bought the products would get pop-up testing reminders on their smartphones. For those that opt not to get tested, the notice states, daily life and mobility may be affected. Journalists arriving in Beijing are getting a taste of what's being dubbed the city's bubble. The closed loop separates those in town for the Olympics from the general population. Many describe the atmosphere as surreal. Here's more.
China's strict pandemic measures are creating a surreal and at times anxiety-inducing experience for Winter Olympics participants. The games will open next week. Beijing is isolating anyone arriving from abroad. They will be kept separate from the public for the duration of their stay. Associated Press photo editor Yermian Arthur arrived in Beijing this week. Knowing what to expect, she says, I'm not really going to experience China. I'm just going to experience the Olympics within the bubble. But AP photographer Jay Hong says despite the warnings, he was still shocked by the experience. He described seeing passengers met by workers in full bodysuits. All arrivals are tested at the airport, then sent to barricaded hotels protected by round-the-clock guards. Everyone inside the bubble is tested daily. If not, they will be confined to their hotel the next day. So far, organizers have reported about 130 positive tests inside the bubble. Among them, two are athletes or team officials. And while life inside the bubble may not be easy, getting to China also has its worries. Chinese authorities require visitors to enter multiple negative test results into an app. When she finally arrived at Beijing Airport, Arthur got a chance to glimpse people outside the Olympic bubble through a window, saying, and you see, oh, there's life out there. And you're like, oh my God, it's so near and yet so far.
China's zero COVID policy triggers massive testing, not only on people, but also on vegetables, fruits, poultry, vehicles, and furniture. A video went viral showing people in protective suits testing vegetables in a greenhouse. That's in the central Chinese province of Henan. Soon after, the local authority in the southwestern Chinese city of Chengdu ordered that all shared bicycles in the city be tested. The medical staff performing the tests said they numbered each bicycle to match its virus test report, and that the bicycles wouldn't be launched until they test negative. Not only bicycles, videos show medical staff testing tables and chairs in a restaurant, and others testing the poultry in farmers' coops. And there's more. According to an official announcement from Inner Mongolia, the outer packaging in a shipment of bananas tested positive. The owner of these bananas and five related business owners were then sent to a centrally controlled quarantine site. Staying up north, the province of Shanxi recently reported positive test results on the packaging of vehicle tires being transported into the city. All close contacts with these tires were taken into quarantine. And in the nearby province of Hebei, tapioca flour packaging tested positive, triggering the authorities to close three local markets. What does the Chinese Communist Party do when it wants to get a Chinese national abroad to return to China? A new report says the regime will even go so far as kidnapping.
According to a new report, the Chinese regime is using means like kidnapping to repatriate overseas Chinese nationals. The report comes from human rights group Safeguard Defenders. It's titled China's Covert Operation to Force Fugitives Overseas Back Home. Safeguard Defenders campaign director Laura Harth tells NTD just how many individuals have been a victim of this operation.
And again, we're citing official government data here. Over 10,000 individuals from 2014 to today in 120 countries. I mean, this is only the tip of the iceberg. They're really installing this global regime of political terror. I don't have any other words to call it.
So then who is at risk? And how exactly does China define the term Chinese national?
The Chinese Communist Party will consider Chinese nationals anyone, you know, of Chinese ethnicity, maybe who wasn't even born within China. So it's a very broad concept. that they're operating.
The report details a few specific cases. In 2017, Canadian citizen Xiao Jianhua was kidnapped from his apartment in Hong Kong. A group of plainclothes Beijing agents entered his building. Soon, Xiao was seen bound to a wheelchair with his head covered by a blanket, then pushed into a vehicle. He's never been seen since. The Chinese Communist Party, or CCP, has also been known to use other means as well.
It's through harassment, intimidation, detention of family members, relatives, friends back in China, who are then cowed into, you know, convincing, persuading the person that fled abroad to return to China voluntarily, and really voluntarily, between parentheses, obviously. A second method.
According to international law, these methods are considered illegal. Yet, within Communist China's legal framework, they're deemed above board. Ms. Harth says many countries might still be unaware that China is employing such methods, this as more and more Chinese people are trying to get out of China. Harth says UN data shows that since Xi Jinping came to power in 2012 through 2020, Chinese refugee numbers have gone up by 700% globally.
More trouble in cyberspace. A Chinese hacking group has reportedly been targeting German companies, especially those focused on tech and pharmaceuticals. Germany's intelligence agency on Wednesday issued a warning about Apt 27, also known as Emissary Panda. The agency says the hacker group exploits vulnerabilities in commonly used software and try to infiltrate customers' and service providers' networks. The group has been active since 2010 and is believed to target foreign embassies to gather information on government, defense, and technology. Last year, the U.S. and several European countries accused the Chinese regime of hacking several companies and government agencies around the world. That includes a massive hack of Microsoft Exchange email servers. According to a German media report, the regime ramped up cyber campaigns in recent years to target countries that were negotiating with Beijing. That's including Belt and Road nations, as well as network infrastructure in European states. And that's all for today's China in Focus. But before you go, we have a short announcement. As you may already know, YouTube has demonetized us for nearly a year. That means our ability to run ads or earn money on YouTube has been taken away. So, if you like our coverage and would like to see more, consider donating. Just follow the link in the description box down below. Thank you for your support as we continue to bring you the latest on China. Thanks for watching, and see you tomorrow.